Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. Happy feast.
Happy feast.
That's better. That's good. We need to be in the feast spirit, don't we? I'd also like to send greetings to those that are on the Cybercast that can't be with us. Certainly appreciate the work that the Cybercast team is doing, sending out video and audio. I'd like to send greetings to those that can't be here with us physically, but glad they can be here with us spiritually. I'd also like to thank Mr. Saloma for all he's done, all his fine humor, and arranging the excellent weather. It makes us feel just really wonderful. This past summer, I think most of us were able to witness the Olympics that took place in Greece. How many of you were able to watch some of the events on TV? Or could I see? You know, it's hard to see up here, so would you please wave your hands? You're such a friendly group. So most of you, I don't have to tell you, thank you. I don't have to tell you about what the Olympics are. You know what they are. It's interesting that this past year, they were in Greece. A lot of special significance because that's where they originated. Lots of events. I know it's been a little while, so I'll refresh. You know, the sprints, the distance, the hurdles, the marathons. It's interesting how you might not know anyone that's participating, but when you start watching them, you soon develop a favorite. You start rooting for this person or that person. Or when they fall or trip on the hurdles, you feel the pain. You know, you say, oh, you've grown with them. And you look and you're sorry that they've fallen or that their legs get cramps or whatever happens. You watch the people going off the diving boards and the platforms, and you see how big their splashes are, and you're just there with them. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed at the triathletes. It just seems impossible what they do. Swimming 2 miles, biking, then running. The shooting, the archery, the wrestling. I didn't know much about Greco-Roman wrestling, but we'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit. It's interesting that in the New Testament that there are a number of references to the events at the Olympics. And I think that's because the writers were very familiar with them, and they knew that the audience they were talking to was also familiar with them. That was like the Super Bowl of the time. That was the events that people were talking about, their favorites, each city sending their representatives, and Paul especially going into the Gentiles, talking to a lot of those areas of Greece, were very familiar with the Olympics. And there's a lot of traits that we can look at the Olympics. I think if you think about it yourself, the hard work and the commitment. Traits like that that also to apply to us as Christians, don't they? The dedication it takes to go there. I know someone right now that's been approached to go to the Olympics. They'd like her to compete in an event. And you might think, yes, that, you know, that's really a commitment to prepare for the 2008 Olympics. You know the Olympics they want her to prepare for? The 2012 Olympics. The dedication it takes to prepare and to do something like that. The perseverance. The desire to excel. And isn't that what we're here to do? Isn't that what we're on earth to do? It's interesting that I thought about entitling this message, Be a Spiritual Athlete, because the word athlete is also used in God's Word, and it talks about, let's go to there, athleo, athlos, a contest in a public place, to contend in the competitive games, to strive. And isn't that what we're doing? We're striving for the kingdom, we're fighting, we're trying to make it with all of our heart. Well, there's a lot of analogies that we can make. And today, I want to focus on the fact that we need to be spiritual Olympians, not just athletes. And for some of us, to be an athlete might be a challenge. And we might view ourselves as spectators. But we need to be spiritual athletes. We need to be working towards that goal. striving to be an Olympian, to go for the gold, to go for that crown. So I have 7 points that I'm going to squeeze into my time today. I thought you'd like 7 points. That way you can always tell how close we are to the end, right? I'll try to follow Mr. Keller's example of ending either right on time or early. The first point is an attitude determined to win. You need to have an attitude determined to win. You need to be committed. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, we'll look at a couple of, we'll be looking at a number of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain." You know, if you're going to put out the effort, why not make it worth it? You know, are we here committed? Or are we just putting in time? Is this just a transitional place that we're at in our life that we're, this is it, you know, like we're, you know, we're trying to figure out things and we'll spend a few time, you know, a few years in the church and then we'll go on to something else? I don't think so. This is a commitment that we've made, and it says that we need to realize that not everyone receives the prize. How many gold medals did they give at the Olympics in each event? One. And people strive for that medal. They strive for that crown. And we need to have that attitude that we're determined that we're going to win. You need to ask yourself, is that your attitude? Is that your approach? Are you determined to win? Because I don't think we're going to make it unless we are determined. There's too many challenges. There's too many excuses to give up along the way. Too many reasons not to do what it takes, not to exercise spiritually, not to study, not to pray, not to hang in there. So the first thing we need, the first point, is to have an attitude, an approach, that you're determined that you're going to win and that you're going to put your all into it and you're going to give it your heart. And you're going to run or fight or strive or whatever the event is until you drop. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. This is one you might not think about for the Olympics or we're going outside the New Testament, outside of Greece. But you know, you might say, I'm not an athlete. I can't do that. I'm not fast. I'm not bright. I'm not skilled. Of course, you're talking yourself out of the attitude you need to have, aren't you? Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse 11. You know, I think I'll start in verse 10. I think it's appropriate for what we're talking about. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go. You know that saying, it's better to wear out than to rust? Now, we need to go down fighting. You know, if you don't enjoy life, if you don't make the most of it, why do it? I don't mean to be negative. I mean, we are supposed to, whatever we find to do, do it with our might. We're Christians. We're Christian athletes. We're Christian Olympians. We need to do it with our might. Verse 11, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. You give it your all. You might not be the record holder in the event, but how many individuals that had the world record were beaten because someone else tried and they gave it their all? Maybe the person who had the record stumbled. Maybe they got tied up in their shoestrings. Maybe they missed a hurdle. Maybe they stepped out of line and were disqualified. And so they might have been the swiftest, but the race wasn't won by them. God is for us. And so don't make excuses. Don't say, oh, I'm not this, I'm not that. Have that attitude that you're determined to win. Because maybe you're not the fastest, maybe you're not the brightest, the sharpest pencil in the holder. You know, whatever it is, however you want to label yourself, realize that with God's help that you can make it and that you can win. Have an attitude determined to win. Point number two, keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the goal. Now, I don't know which individual it was. I believe he was an American. Who was a marksman? Some of you know the story I'm about to share. All he had to do was hit the target. If he hit the target, he'd win the gold medal in marksmanship. And you know what he did? He hit the wrong target. He was aiming. All he had to do was hit the target. And he got on the wrong target and put a bullseye in the wrong target. What a shame. You know, he did a good job, but he hit the wrong target. We need to keep our eyes on the goal. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 this time. You know, it's so easy to get distracted. I don't know about you, I've had a lot of things this past year that have been distracting. Anyone else have anything that distracted them? Anyone else have anything that distracted them? Not go like this. Yeah, okay, I see a few other people have some distractions. Distractions is a nice term for things that really get in the way and cause you to be discouraged, down, want to quit, give up, frustrate you, hurt, make you cry. Distractions. Distractions get our minds off the goal. And what is our goal? 1 Corinthians 9. Who was that sermonette guy from Texas? I like the way he did things. He didn't give you the last verse or the verse until he got there. See, you're already there, and I'm still trying to find Corinthians. It was here 5 minutes ago. 1 Corinthians 9. Oh, there it is. Okay. We read verse 24. And every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it for a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now I thought it was really interesting that this year's Olympics is that they gave them crowns. I'd never seen that before. Did you notice that? They gave them crowns out of olive leaves. Now that was a very symbolic crown, because they had to excel to get that crown, and that crown meant a lot to them. But where do you think that crown is today? 2 months later, 3 months later, probably withered up. Maybe they got it dried, you know, tacked on the wall. That's their olive crown, olive leaf crown. But we are doing it for a crown of gold to reign with Christ, to have life eternal. Now, isn't that what we're striving for? Now, they did it for something physical. We're doing it for something eternal. Now, they do it for a corruptible crown. And I'm sure this is what he's talking about with the Olympics at that time, because I think that's all they got was that olive leaf crown. But we do it for an incorruptible. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. Now, he's not just shadow boxing, you know, he's just, you know, practicing some kata or something out there, just No, he's doing it with his might. He's in it for real. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He didn't want that to happen, and neither should we, brethren. We need to keep our eyes focused on the goal, the right goal, and not get distracted by something else, not focus on something else that takes us off course, so we don't win. Keep your eyes on the goal. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. It's not going to fade away. You know, sometimes when you strive for something, you win it. You win the medal. You win the crown. You win the trophy. You put it up on your shelf, and it gathers dust. It loses its luster. Because, you know, it's no longer important to you. But this is an award. This is a prize that's not going to fade. It's going to get better and better. It's like the feast. How can the next day be better than the last day? I don't know. But they are. Isn't it great? You know, you say, well, I've been to the feast before. I don't think I'll go this year. Right. You know, you want to, after the feast, you want to come back. Because why can't this feast last longer? We will receive a crown that fades not. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. A lot of analogies in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Breaking in. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, therefore, is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's us. Brethren, he's talking about us, that we're going to receive that crown too. Not just Paul, not just the first Testament Christians, the first century Christians, us. It says to all them that love his appearing. Aren't we looking forward to the return of Christ? Isn't that why we're here? We're looking forward to the time when we'll be in God's kingdom, when the millennium will be set up, when Satan will be bound, and all mankind will be able to live this way of happiness and peace. I think we love that. We love his appearing. We're looking forward to it. We're anxious for it. We're not going to fight it. We say, hasten that day. So point number two, keep your eyes on that goal. That's why we're here, to get our minds focused on the purpose for life. Point number three, you need to finish the course. Finish the course. We just read, and we're still right there, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. He says that I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. What is the course? What is he talking about? You Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about, this is verse 1, with so great a cloud of witnesses, you just go back to Hebrews 11 and read about all those heroes, if you want to call them that. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now this word race is talking about a course. Now I don't know if you've ever run a cross-country event. This is like running a marathon that we don't know the course. We get there and the course is laid out. And in this particular event that we're all in, we all have a starting line somewhere where we get on the course, but we don't know how far the course is. We don't know if it goes up and down. We don't know if it's on a beach, if it's on rocky ground, if it's on pavement or grass, if it's through a golf course or through a quarry. We don't know the course, but it's set before us. I was playing a game the other day. It was really a lot of fun. It's called Catchphrase. And if you play Catchphrase, well, this is sort of like charades with words. But it's got this little device about this big, and it's got a timer on it. And it's, you know, it's computerized. I'm a computer guy. So I enjoyed the game. No. You push the button, and it flashes a word up. And then you got to have your team guess what that word is. And if you don't like that word, you push the button again, and another word pops up until you get one you like. You know what? The course that we get, we can't push a button and say, I don't like this. Hey, God, could you give me another trial? I'm not up to this one. I think I'd rather have financial rather than health. Or I think I'd rather have health rather than, you know what I mean? We don't get to choose the course. It's laid out before us. That's it. You've got to run it. We need to finish that course. We don't get to choose. Let's go to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts 20, verse 24. This is Paul writing. He was going to Jerusalem. He didn't really know what course he was on. He didn't know what the end was, but he had a pretty good idea he wasn't going to see these people again. Verse 24 of Acts 20 says, but none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. That I might finish my course with joy. Now, joy is one of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Sometimes our courses aren't very joyous. We have to remember that we need to ask God to strengthen us and help us to enjoy it. It's, you know, we just read in Ecclesiastes, once we die, it's over. It might be painful now, but at least we feel the pain. When you feel the pain, you know you're alive. He says he counted it joy. He says that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said he wanted to finish that course with joy. And we need to do the same thing. We don't know whether it's going to include sickness, accidents, loss of loved ones. We don't know what the trials, the tribulations, or the persecutions we'll face are. But we need to be determined that we will finish the course. In every Olympics, it seems like there's someone that comes in last. Someone has to be last. But you know, oftentimes when they cross the course, the finish line, they get a rousing applaud because they finished. And sometimes they come in bleeding, hobbling, band-aided up, knees wrapped, maybe pulled muscles, maybe they'll never be able to run again, but they're determined to finish that course, and they go across the finish line. And we need to have that same determination that we will finish the course and that we will not give up. And whatever that course is, that we have the confidence that God will give us the strength to finish. Point number four. Specialize on the events that count. Specialize on the events that count. Maybe you've heard that expression, some people like to major in the minors. Some people like to major in the minors. We need to make sure we don't get off in the twigs, that we stay in the trunk of the tree. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. You're going to get some of these scriptures multiple times. I don't know about you. This is one event that I don't like. And we're talking about spiritual events. Down towards the bottom of the verse, it says, let us run with patience. Patience. I feel that I'm being patient. I thought Christ was going to return in 1975. Did anyone else? I was wondering whether or not I'd, you know, be able to get married. Now I'm a grandpa. Five kids, as was said before. Here it is, 2004. Time flies. It says we need to run with patience. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Excuse me, it's 1 Timothy. Did I say Hebrews? 1 Timothy chapter 6. So we see one of the events is patience. Hebrews chapter 6. Keep saying that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, it's interesting. The Olympics are pretty public, aren't they? Aren't they public? We watch them on TV. Everyone sees what's happening. It's rather public for us, too. People see us. They see the example. But here it says we need to fight the good fight of faith. And we need to lay hold on eternal life. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. Everyone sees the life we lead. It's interesting, when someone wins the Olympics, they become a public person. Everyone knows what they do. They know what kind of cereal they eat. They know what kind of shoes they wear. They know what kind of clothes they wear. They might not, you know, depending on what they endorse, you could find out all kinds of personal things that they use and do and stuff. It's public. And when we're also in the public arena spiritually, people see us. They see the example that we set. Paul says, but you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life. Our manner of life is known, brethren. The events that we specialize in are known. Do we want to be known as a distance person? Someone that's running the race? Do we want to be known as a wrestler? That we were wrestling well against our adversary? Or do we want to be known as someone that's out in the twigs, someone that's, you know, worried about things that don't really matter? that we're clinging to the truth rather than a pet doctrine. He says, you've known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, the persecutions, afflictions which came to me, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So point number four is we need to specialize in the events that count. We want people to focus on the events that we're in, not the scandals. We don't want to be creating scandals. We want to be known for our manner of life. Point number five, know your competition. Know your competition. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Did any of you see the Greco-Roman wrestling? Anyone? I see one person. Anyone else? Come on, someone's got to have seen the Greco-Roman wrestling. Okay, that's better. Thank you. Now, I've never seen Greco-Roman wrestling before. If you're not to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, you'll soon figure out why I'm talking about Greco-Roman wrestling here. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places." Are you familiar with the term no holds barred? No holds barred. Come on, you got to exaggerate your head motions. Okay, some of you. No holds barred. That means there's like no rules. That's like you say, well, you can't use this hold, you can't use that hold. Well, what was interesting to me in the Greco-Roman wrestling, and for those of you that haven't seen it, in this one position they start from, is like these two guys sort of lean up against each other, and against their shoulders, and they got their arms around each other like they're hugging each other, okay? But this hand is free. And with this other hand, they're trying to grab the other person and get a grip on them. And once they get that grip, they're going to pull them down. Now, these are not little guys. These are big guys. Big, big. And they try to pick each other up and throw each other around. This is not something that's nice. You know what I mean? This is wrestling. Muscles. Grabbing. And no holds barred. And that's what we're doing, brethren. We're wrestling somebody that wants to grab a hold of us. Now, when they grab a hold of you, that means they're going to throw you down. And you don't want them to get a hold of you. And so you're wrestling to keep Satan from getting a hold of you. And you're trying to grab hold of eternal life and not let go of that. Because if you get a hold of that, he's not going to be able to pull you down. We have to realize that we have competition. And in this event, we're wrestling against someone that's very powerful, very wily, very shrewd. He knows all the moves, all the holds, and he's going to try every one of them to get us down. He fights dirty. He fights dirty. We've already been there. We won't go back. Hebrews 12:1. It talks about the sin that does so easily beset us. You know that word beset us? That's talking about competition. Now, did any of you see that marathon where the guy was running and all of a sudden, out of the blue, some spectator tackled him? Did anyone see that? I mean, that's the kind of enemy we have. Just when we're not expecting it and we think we're in the lead, he's going to have someone jump us from the side. Sin that does so easily beset us. We need to make sure that our enemy doesn't get a hold of us. We need to be aware that he's going to do anything he can to stop us from achieving our goal. And it's not nice. You know, we live in a very nice society. Here, people are very polite generally. But we have an enemy that is a dirty fighter. And he's going to do everything he can to get us down. And we need to realize that that's our enemy and that we need to be prepared. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist. Resist sometimes takes energy. It takes effort. When he's trying to grab you, you got to jerk your hand away. He's trying to get your leg, you got to, you know, kick him off. We have to resist. Then he will flee from you. He'll finally get the message. He'll say, I guess this guy doesn't want me to grab him. So resist the devil and he will flee from you. Mr. Luker gave some excellent points on that. Verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So mainly the point here is know your competition. Know that he's out to get you and resist him. And how do you resist him? You draw close to God because Satan doesn't like that. If you're close to God, you don't have time for Satan. You're not going to be deceived. So know your competition. Point number 6, know the rules. Know the laws. It's interesting, we had a message on knowing the laws, the law of God. The kingdom of God will have laws. There's rules to live by. 2 Timothy 2:5. 2 Timothy 2:5. You know, there was some controversy at the Olympics because sometimes people won events, but they didn't get the crown, did they? Because they didn't do things lawfully. They use drugs, steroids, performance enhancements, enhancers, and therefore they were tested and disqualified. Some people cheated. Gymnastics. Maybe cheating is a harsh word. But you know, if you step over the line, if you step outside of your lane in a exchange in a relay, if you're doing aerial or the floor routines and you step outside the box, points against you. We need to know the rules. 2 Timothy 2. And if a man also strive for masteries, notice the word strive. That's fighting, working hard, striving for the masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You know, we can't have our cake and eat it too. You can't break God's law and expect to be a teacher of God's law in his kingdom. We have to strive lawfully. We have rules that are right here. Just go over a page or two. Verse 15. Same chapter. Study to show yourself approved unto God. How are we going to know the laws? How are we going to know the rules unless we study them? So we need to know the rules. We need to know God's way of life. Point number 7. We have an experienced coach who knows the way. He's not Coach Bear Bryant. He's the Lion of Judah. Isn't that the kind of coach you want? One that's been there, done that, has a shirt and crown to go with it. Jesus Christ is our coach. Let's go to Philippians. chapter 4, verse 13. We might have doubts. I think all athletes do. There might be times when we're feeling down, like we can't do it, but we have a coach that knows how to do it, and he's going to tell us how to do it. He says here, Paul writing, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Christ is our coach. He knows the way. He's been there. He's got the crown. He wants us to get a crown too. So he's teaching us his ways. He's there to show us how to do it, how to make it. And we need to realize with his help, we can do it, that we can do all things. And we should not doubt. We should not have fear. We can win. Let's go back to Psalms, verse 44. Not only do we have Christ as our coach, we got the heroes to look at that have gone before us, have been successful. We have the help that we need. It's available to us. Psalms 44, verse 5. Through you, we will push down our enemies. Through your name, we will tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me, but you shall save us from our enemies and have put them to shame that hate us. Brethren, you are spiritual athletes. Not just athletes. You're trained to be spiritual Olympians, striving for the kingdom, striving to receive a crown. And I certainly hope that you make a determination, if you haven't already, or that you renew that determination, that you will win. That you'll keep your eyes on the goal, that you will finish the course, you will focus on the things that are important and not the things that aren't, that you'll be wary of your competition, you know that he's out to win too, that you'll study hard to know the laws, and to learn the games so you can win. And remember that you have a coach, someone that's there for you and will guide you all the way, and that's Jesus Christ. So, brethren, keep preparing, keep struggling, keep fighting because it's worth it. They got a crown that was just leaves. We have a crown waiting for us that's worth all of it, that's going to last forever, a crown of righteousness, a special crown reserved for you, the spiritual Olympians.